The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Variety Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericavariety.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Have the roles of men and women in society really changed that much? Now, more than ever, men and women are competing in the workplace, in parenting, even in relationships. It doesn't have to be that way. Welcome to It's Time to Go Back to Basics with your host, Naftali Schwartz. Today, a lot of people are delaying or even foregoing marriage. And when there are disagreements, instead of communicating, it's just too easy to forget it all. Maybe that's why divorce rates are so high. When we discuss our roles and communicate with each other, great things can happen. Now, here is Naftali Schwartz.
Well, hello, everyone. This is Naftali Schwartz, and the title of my show is It's Time to Go Back to Basics. As we all know, we have many epidemics in our country today. Just to name a few, there is the obesity epidemic and the diabetes epidemic. As far as I'm concerned, there's also what I call the divorce epidemic. Today, people get divorced if it is in style. The notion seems to be that it is much easier to simply get divorced than attempting to communicate with each other and solve our problems. There's also a lack of commitment from couples to try and work things out. We seem to live in a throwaway society. In other words, why bother to fix something if we can simply throw it away and buy a new one? Some examples would be throwing a pair of shoes instead of bringing it to the shoe repair shop to fix them, throwing away the computer and buying a new one, throwing away the car and buying a new one, etc. So, the question is, why don't we throw away the spouse and get a new one? The sad part of it all is that the new spouse has his own baggage, or as we call it, our relationship jargon, we call it luggage. And so here we go again with new challenges for the couple to face. Now, this becomes a vicious cycle with a lot of resentment going around. So obviously, the question becomes, what are we going to do about it? Are we just going to say, it is what it is, and it's just too bad for those people? Or we'll all get together and say, it's time to go back to basics. What I'm referring to is basically a simple concept. Traditional values have stood the test of time for thousands of years. In fact, I truly believe that we would not be here today if it wasn't for those core beliefs and values. I also believe that we have a very serious obligation as responsible adults to preserve our society for our future generations. Specifically, I'm looking for like-minded people to join me as we pursue our journey to return to our fundamental principles and values of our society in order to give people a sense of purpose and hope for the future. And ladies and gentlemen, I want you to know that also my wife shares my views too. We have discussed it many, many times. And we are both concerned very much about what is going on today in our world, especially with, as I mentioned before, with the young adults. When they grow up, I spoke to quite a few of them, and basically they all share the same idea that they are afraid that most likely they're going to end up in divorce themselves based on what they see as the current trend. Now, my wife also would like to say a few words regarding the subject. So here she is, Hannah Schwartz.
Hello. Hi, this is Hannah Schwartz, or for those of you that know me as Linda Schwartz. Yes, it's exactly what Naftali has been talking about. We are worried about the divorce epidemic. I myself came from a divorced home and have learned to overcome it and work very hard on my marriage with Naftali. It's very difficult coming from such a home when you have no father raising you, you just have your mother. Or for those of you that also come from a divorced home and have just a father raising you and no mother, whatever is the choice of the parents and whoever won the custody of the child is very difficult because the children are basically the ones who are in the middle and get left behind. It's very sad because then when the children grow up, they themselves have a great fear of, if they have a sense and a feeling that they want to get married one day, will my husband or wife divorce me? And it's just an awful feeling. I mean, even just the other day, our own daughter came home from school and mentioned that one of her classmates has a divorced home. And now she, within our own home, says, Mom, Dad, or Abba and Ima, I am also afraid to get married because my husband may leave me. And that is the worst thing anybody could ever hear when we ourselves, even with our in our own religious community, have strong values and want to promote the values and pass them on to our own children, that they should have such a fear. Why should they have such a fear? You know, why can't they learn from the parents that do break up? Why can't they learn from them and say, oh my goodness, I don't want to go through that. What can I do in my own life, in my own feelings, to make that when I get married one day, it should work? I will work very hard, and hopefully my husband will be in the same frame of mind and will be very compatible with each other. And so these are the feelings that have risen within my own background. And, well, my husband does come from both parents together. But we learn and work very hard every day with each other to open up, share our feelings, and look for the most important thing, which is communication. Communication amongst people in a marriage, amongst parents and children, teachers and children, and any other type of relationship you have in your life and society, you have to have the skills of communication to relate. And this is where we can introduce you to our very good friend, the next host and guest on our show, which is Laura Lamanaco. Here she is. Laura, can you come on?
Hi.
Hi, Laura. How are you?
Great. I'm doing well. How about yourself?
Oh, welcome to our show.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. We're doing
great. It's great to be here.
Yes, it's great to have you. So, Laura, can you tell the audience and communities that are listening to this show, tell them all about communication skills and all about your background, which has led you to come onto our show and give people an idea and an introduction into what we're dealing with here, please.
Absolutely. My background in communications started about 8 years ago when I was introduced into an organization called Toastmasters. And I didn't think I would learn very much. However, after 8 years, boy, am I glad I went. And ever since I've been in their organization, I have come to learn that one of the biggest problems amongst any type of relationship, whether it be a boss and employees or foundation of any relationship. And it's very sad that our society has not learned the proper or effective ways to communicate. One of the things that I see lacking most is the knowledge of what communication really is. Communication is not just talking and hearing, but words that are being spoken with body language, as well as the other person sitting and truly listening to what the speaker is saying, to the full statements and complete sentences before responding without interruption. And that is one of the biggest problems we have, is when people interrupt what people are trying to say and already having an immediate response or an answer to something without fully giving their attention.
Okay, Laura, that was really very interesting. And, you know, talking about your experience. So I want to ask you something interesting. You seem to be familiar with people who unfortunately went through a post-traumatic stress disorder.
PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder, that's correct.
Yes. Could you share with our audience a bit more about this disorder? Because I think people would be interested to know how to they can deal with it more effectively.
Absolutely. And what exactly are you looking for more? What do you think the listeners would be most interested in knowing about?
Right. Well, especially in terms of what we are trying to achieve here, that would be in terms of specifically how it affects relationships. Because remember what I said before, that a lot of people have a problem with commitment, and having attitudes that not having the right positive attitude when it comes to relationship. So,
right. Well, Natalie, with PTSD, you've got two ends. You've got the survivors of PTSD, and then you have the loved ones of PTSD. And then you've got the lack of communication in any average setting. When you add post-traumatic stress disorder into the dialogue or into any situation, you're really dealing with something completely different. Post-traumatic stress disorder survivors are survivors of severe trauma and not just one. Unfortunately, they often live, whether they've been living their lives managed with this these traumatic events or not, there's these things called triggers. And sometimes they're aware of their triggers and sometimes they're not. And triggers can have an effect on a person's behavior and personality anywhere from immediately to up to a week later. Now, if the person with PTSD is seeking out some form of therapy, counseling, or going to a support group, chances are they're aware of at least some or most of their triggers, where if they're not receiving help, they're unaware. It's the not being aware of the triggers that really causes a huge challenge for the loved ones who are trying to communicate with the survivors, because a smell, a sound, a taste could trigger a behavior where they'll be sitting somewhere and their spouse may say something and they'll take it very offensively and think that they're being blamed, and they'll begin yelling. And then what happens is the spouse doesn't understand where the anger is coming from and then getting upset for being yelled at. And if that person, like I said, is not getting help, they also don't know where that anger is coming from. And it often can even at times lead to a very violent situation. And so this is why it's very, very important for communication in any situation, especially when working with someone with PTSD.
Laura, before we continue, I just want to make a suggestion. I definitely want to hear more what you have to say. Just so we need to go to a quick break. And,
okay.
Yeah, and when we come back, I would like to continue. I would like to continue when we left off because I definitely want to hear more about this.
Absolutely.
So we'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen.
Have you friended us on Facebook yet? Why not? Just go to facebook.com/World Talk Radio or search for the keywords World Talk Radio. Once you're a part of our Facebook network, you'll receive daily messages about what's happening with our shows, this week's featured guests, and new happenings at the World Talk Radio Network. And you can add your voice to the always active discussions on our timeline. Just go to facebook.com/World Talk Radio or search for World Talk Radio.
Want to know what's going on behind the scenes with your favorite Voice America Talk Radio Network host? How about what's new with our network? Make sure you check out the iRadio blog, a look at what's hot at Voice America and beyond. Visit www.iradioblog.com today. Get the inside scoop on every channel on our network, including breaking news, featured guests, blog posts from our hosts, and much more. Make sure you sign up for our newsletter for even more inside action. Visit iradioblog.com today and stay connected.
Now you can take your favorite Voice America radio program with you anywhere. Sign up for our mobile app if you have an iPhone, Android, or BlackBerry. The Voice America Interactive Radio Player, powered by Aircast, gives you the freedom to listen to any of our programs anywhere, live, and on demand. No registration is required. Listen to your favorite Voice America hosts and discover new ones. Download the Voice America mobile app for iPhone, Android, or BlackBerry, powered by Aircast. Visit the Apple iTunes App Store, BlackBerry App World, or Android Market.
Find out which guests are being featured this week. Read our network press releases and read the blog posts from your favorite hosts. Go to iradioblog.com today, powered by the Voice America Talk Radio Network.
You are listening to It's Time to Go Back to Basics with Naftali Schwartz. To reach the show today, please call in to 1-866-472-5788. That's 1-866-472-5788. Now, back to this week's program.
Okay, and we're back here with Laura, as we spoke before. And so, Laura, let's continue where we left off, what you were saying about communication, where people have to listen to you, especially when you want to express your views and people just don't give you a chance.
Right. Well, we were talking about communication and you had mentioned about my knowledge with post-traumatic stress disorder. And I believe before we went to break, I gave an example in which I was going to talk about communicating within those situations. Now, when a person is speaking to another person, it's really important to fully listen and give the speaker your full attention in order to properly respond. This is something that I see a big problem day-to-day with any form of communication, whether it's with a PTSD survivor or not. You know, listening, we talk about communicating, and again, I'm going to reiterate, communicating isn't just about talking. It's about talking as well as listening.
So could you, before you were giving us an example of that, so the audience, our audience can understand better how...
Okay.
Yeah, how critical this, how serious this can become, If people don't understand that, then the person really can get quite depressed about it.
Right. Well, as I'm trying to think of an exact example, basically, if someone tries to say something and the other person interrupts what they're saying because they're getting offended, what's happening is and they're basically getting offended instead of listening when the speaker may have simply repeated what they heard their counterpart saying to understand completely in order to provide feedback. And now that person's being offended and interrupting, you've now created an unnecessary argument. So if you have a wife and a husband, and a husband walks in, says, "Why are you so emotional?"
Mm-hmm.
A wife can become very upset and say, "You think I'm weak. You think I shouldn't be crying. You think I should be this and I should be that." When in reality, what all a husband's trying to do is find out what's wrong and not put blame. I don't know if you've ever read the book, Women Are from Venus, Men Are from Mars.
Oh, yes. Very famous.
It's an excellent book. And the author speaks about communication where the male often, now this isn't 100% with every male and 100 female, but it does help you to gain access into understanding ways of communication with the opposite gender a little better, where men are wired to more or less fix the problems, where women are more wired to deal with problems in an emotional way. A kid runs away, the woman has that emotional maternal bond, is going to be heartbroken and cry and upset and angry and yelling, where the husband is going to call the police, go out and look for the child. Unfortunately, we look at those behaviors as men not being emotional, where the men look at the women being too emotional and not wanting to fix, and not understanding that those two things and how the other come together can cause the communication problem as well. Instead of sitting down and understanding those two areas, as well as understanding, you know, that the husband really is just as heartbroken and has those maternal bonds, but is more likely to take action. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that is pretty interesting. So, now, are there any suggestions, any solutions that people have, you know, to how to cope with this syndrome?
Absolutely. There's always coping skills, and there's poor coping skills, and there's more acceptable coping skills. If you find yourself constantly yelling or not able to get your feelings or your words across effectively, one of the things that I find effective is to journal. When you are upset about something, it is usually the worst time to communicate to anybody about what you're upset. So I suggest journaling, get it all out, read maybe what you wrote to yourself, see how it sounds, write a letter to the person you're upset with. Don't necessarily send it to them, but write it. And then read it out loud and think about what you've said. Often what happens is we trigger a response in our brain that we come to realize that that's not really what we're upset about. We're upset about something else, and this is simply giving us a reason to yell about what we're really angry about. Also, listen. When people are talking with you, watch their body language. 80% of communication is body language.
Right.
And so
right.
It's really important to watch people's body language as well as listening to the real words that they're saying. I'm going to take you back to the husband and the wife. When the husband walks in and says, "Why are you so emotional?" Yes, he could change his question to be more sensitive to a female, such as, "Are you okay?" instead of, "Why are you so emotional?" or, "What's wrong? Is something upsetting you? How can I help?" those are ways that you can help change the situation by taking out that argument before it even exists. And again, back to the listening. Listening is very, very important. Everybody likes TV. They like plays. They like movies. You like one of those. When you watch the actors in their character roles, one of the things you'll notice is even when it's a scene of interrupting each other, they're not truly interrupting. But watch how they listen to each other with the body language as well as the dialogue that's going on.
Mm-hmm.
And that that's is how true. I feel communication would really change the way we see everything today.
Exactly.
That's correct.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, would you like to add to that, Anna?
I totally hear her from that standpoint with the pain inside her from her own experience, my own past pains. I was told that by a coach that I actually went to that helped us, thank God, move across the country and to settle our lives and go for total success here in California. I was actually told that I'm dealing, from my own background, I'm dealing with abandonment and abuse. I mean, imagine coming from two parents where they got divorced when I was two and a half years old. And, well, I don't want to dwell on the pain of it because it's painful. You know, I grew up without a father. My mother did the best that she could. As I say, she wasn't the best mother because she was hardly home. But for the most part, in terms of providing for us, she always made sure that we had everything we needed materialistically. But as far as the pain in growing up, I mean, if you look at my photos, you will never see that I look sad. I was always smiling and I always showed a happy face, I guess because my mother helped me to do what we call bury your pain, bury your feelings. And I guess I did a good job with that for a long time. And, of course, as I started to get older and go through my own feelings about different situations in terms of getting married and different experiences I had when I was in college, I also felt the roots and the triggers of all those things, meeting different people. So I know what Laura's saying. But we don't want to dwell on such negativity here. What we want to do is show people that if they learn the skills of communication with different types of relationships, they can overcome all their pain and their hurt and their triggers, so to say, if they really learn how to speak up from their heart and soul, their feelings from not stemming from the pain, but to let their friends and family and relatives and husbands and wives and any type of relationship that they have out there, that they should learn how to communicate and get the best communication skills they can possibly think of to help themselves to relate better in society.
Right.
And also, you know, you mentioned about, you know, growing up, and I think today is a different generation, too, where I, too, am from the East Coast, and as well as you learned to bury your emotion, emotion wasn't really allowed. Today, we can move on from that and learn from our experiences and go back to the foundations of communicating. And that's why I say one of the biggest challenges is understanding that part of communicating is not just talking, but listening.
That's correct. That's absolutely correct. If the other person or persons on the other side really hear you out, chances are, if they start to learn to understand you and listen to your true thoughts and feelings, you can then work things out, and then the other person, because because nobody's inside your head. Nobody knows exactly what you're feeling. Only you do. So when you express verbally and as well and exactly what you said before in terms of your bodily gestures, you can actually express to another person how you feel and what's troubling you. And by doing, you're really, it's almost like a therapeutic feeling. And then you start to feel good because the other person feels your pain, feels your hurt, and then turns things around, and the relationship gets much better.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So we all agree then that going back to when we started our show, that communication is really the key to everything. If people don't communicate, right? If people don't communicate.
Communicating is important. However, people need to understand that it has to be effective communicating, and that communicating isn't just about talking. See, we live in a society, unfortunately, where a big issue is about power and authority, and we take that want and that desire of power and authority to be able to tell everybody what to do. And that's not even communicating, and that's it's a very selfishness behavior. And it's more effective if that's what you're even trying to do, not saying that you should, but even if you wanted to become some kind of leadership, you need to understand that leadership is part of communicating, and communicating is mostly listening, not talking.
That's interesting.
That's true.
Because, everybody always wants to say something, and then they don't hear the other person talk. You know,
Exactly.
So here's the next question, Laura. So where do you see us going from here, you know, in terms of my whole concept here that it's time to go back to basics? In other words, I want to return to the point where people used to be able to communicate better and listen to each other. And not today, you know, today with all this technology, everybody's so much into themselves and texting all the time and playing with the smartphones. So, you know, the joke is today, where people go on a date, they just sit across each other and they start texting each other.
there is quite a bit of truth to that, isn't there?
Yeah, because it takes too much effort. It takes too much effort to open your mouth and talk. Well, I'll just text you across the table. I mean, it's a joke, but it's a sad joke. There is something to it. I mean, where do we draw the line?
And that's a very good question. And again, it comes back to bringing, you know, past generations into this generation, going back to basics, as you state, as well as living in today's life with today's technology. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's a great question. When you take somebody such as myself, there is a lot of tradition that I do believe in. And then there's some that I don't.
Right.
When it comes to what you're referring to with the technology, it's great to have the technology, but we also have a lot of people worrying, you know, if this and that's going to happen to the world or the universe, and they've got, you know, they're saving all this water and going out to buy all this food to make sure they can survive whatever is survivable. But what if they don't have that communication anymore? What if they can't talk on their cell phones? So how can they survive if that's all they know is a cell phone and the internet? I will say one of the good things about texting is sometimes it's really hard when there's two people trying to communicate and neither one is getting through to the other one. Sometimes that could be a great way to take a breath and communicate, because you're going to stop and think about what you're writing, at least for a second. And I would hope that people would take a little more than a second, but at least you're not just yelling words. You're at least taking that moment to write it, and then you can read what you write before you hit that send button. Now, I know that doesn't necessarily always happen, and we've got our lovely autocorrect that can end up answering or stating things that are completely not even close to what was meant to be said. So there's a con. As far as the communication, did I answer your question?
Yeah, absolutely. You know,
is there something you would like me to go a little more into?
No, actually, this is very good. I believe that you gave the audience a lot of food for thought, and that's what we're here for. Okay, so you know what, Laura, we're going to go to another break here. Another break here, and then we'll be right back to continue.
Your favorite Voice America Talk Radio Network shows and hosts are in your car, outdoors, and wherever you need them to be. Listen anywhere. Get our mobile app for iPhone, BlackBerry, or Android at the Apple iTunes App Store, BlackBerry App World, or Android Market.
Follow the Voice America Talk Radio Network on Twitter. We're at Voice America TRN. You'll get the latest fix on what's happening with our shows, this week's featured guests, and general happenings that you should know about at the Voice America Talk Radio Network. Now you don't have to miss anything when you're away from your home or office. Just go to twitter.com/Voice America TRN or follow along with us at Voice America TRN, the Voice America Talk Radio Network. We're on the cutting edge of social media. Can you keep up?
Now there's a new destination for video content, VoiceAmerica.tv, just like our radio channels and so much more. Voice America Variety, Health and Wellness, Business, Sports, Green Talk, Power Up Motorsports, and 7th Wave Network now have their own video channel components. Plus, check out exclusive programming, including movies, music, educational courses, science and history, current events, and short features. High-definition, premier-quality programs available 24-7. VoiceAmerica.tv. If you think you've seen online TV like this before, let us surprise you.
Your favorite Voice America Talk Radio Network shows and hosts are in your car, outdoors, and wherever you need them to be. Listen anywhere. Get our mobile app for iPhone, BlackBerry, or Android at the Apple iTunes App Store, BlackBerry App World, or Android Market.
You are listening to It's Time to Go Back to Basics with Naftali Schwartz. To reach the show today, please call in to 1-866-472-5788. That's 1-866-472-5788. Now, back to this week's program.
Okay, and we are back, everyone. And as you know, I've been speaking with my wife, Hannah Schwartz, and our dear friend and guest, Laura. Laura, again, how do you pronounce, I want to make sure I pronounce your last name correctly.
Lamonico.
Thank you, because it's a nice Italian name.
And,
yeah.
Sicilian, actually.
Oh, there you go. There you go, even better. So, yes. So the thing is this now. So I want to see how we can tie it in, and because basically our show is to give people hope, specifically our younger future generation, who most likely are wondering, I know if I was in their shoes, saying, well, look, when we grow up, what do we have to look forward to in terms of the direction which our society is heading to, toward, which is there seems to be so much apathy going around, and the divorce is running rampant, and people don't know anymore. They don't understand the roles in society in terms of being a husband and wife. What is the roles of the husband? What is the role of the wife? And things of that nature. So I'd like to see how we can do give hope to our listeners that there is hope, and that's the key to life. We all believe that hope is what gives the human spirit the strength to keep going forward and not give up. So who would like to go first, Hannah or Laura?
Well, I will say, not to, I'm sorry to sound so cliche, but, you know, with you can even put the motto, be the change you want to see, into a relationship status as well. Not necessarily status, but, you know, if you want a change in your relationship, then be that change. Show what you want. You use your communicating skills to change. And you mentioned about the roles of a man and a woman. And I want to also bring up that, again, back in the, you know, even 15 years ago compared to today, it's very different because women in today's society do have more of a freedom, for lack of a better word here, than they did in the past, and are moms and working. And when you say, you know, today's generation, they want hope for a successful marriage, one of the things to best to look at in the best remarks would be to understand what the wife wants in the role of the relationship and not assume that this is going to be one way or another, but to have that communication and agree amongst each other what the role of each person in the relationship and in that family is going to be and come to an agreement. And that'll also prevent a lot of confusion as well as arguments.
That's correct, Laura. I'll tell you, Laura, in our own religious background, you know, when people go dating in our background, in our community, they literally have the parents involved on both sides. And when we see that within the community, we recommend, you know, we're searching, let's say, what we call find the shidduch. We're looking for a match for our child, our children. We look through the community and we ask around, and we also get involved within our synagogues. And we look to see who knows who, and, you know, the children, they sometimes see each other in the synagogue, and they like each other, and then they tell the parents, and the parents work out the details where they can actually go on a date. And they can literally, they'll go out, let's say, I've had a friend of mine that told me she went on her first date with her current husband. She went on her first date actually to the airport, and they love to watch planes pass by. The bottom line is that they wanted to see if they even like each other and they have things in common. And it's unfortunately is that in the outside community, in the outside world, when people go dating, they literally sit down in a restaurant or wherever they go, and they just talk about the movies or things that they like and what they don't. Other. They don't thoroughly get to know each other. And as I was saying, in our community, we make sure the kids, they know exactly that they're going out there because they're looking to get married and they're looking to find the right person. So when they sit down and talk with each other, they talk about their goals and their plans and how they want to raise children and how many children do they want, et cetera, et cetera. And according to what you said, Laura, people have to know even before they get into the marriage, you know, do they like each other? Just make sure you like each other, because then from the like, you build the love over a period of time.
Right. Yes, you do build that love for each other over a period of time. That is correct. The other thing, and I'm going to try not to get into another topic. However, dating is a whole other topic with the outside world, as you said, outside of your community, I will say, because in my opinion and from what I've experienced, the dating doesn't even seem to have a clear reasoning of dating. It seems, from what I've experienced and witnessed, it seems like people have been, and mostly teenagers, have been in such a hurry to create a family without understanding what that really means. And unfortunately, with our society, oftentimes what is never spoken of is those young children and young adults that are in such a hurry to create a family is because they feel they don't have one. They're wanting a child because they're wanting to love that child and that child to love back because they feel they have lacked that love from their parent. And that, like I said, is gonna, it should be a whole other issue. But I wanted to add to that in regards to what you said about the dating world outside of your community.
Oh, that is true. That is so true. There is dating, and then there's the actual marriage. Are they going to get married? The premarital, etc. Now, in the in like I said, in our community, we can relate, and also because my husband and I, we both have experience in the outside community because we weren't raised religious, and we decided to become religious later in life for many different reasons. And we are much happier because we have something to hold on to, which is our own beliefs and our own upbringing with the observance. However, not so much on that. If other people out there would have a feeling and a connection within their family, within their community, something that they truly can hold on to and see values and good things rather than relating to the people on the stage, you know, in the outside world, you know, the entertainers and people that they start to idolize. We don't do that. We look within ourselves and in our community, in our value system, who we are as people, what we want for ourselves and our children and other relatives. We want to be there. It's not a perfect world in any community. There's divorce in the religious communities. There's divorce everywhere. But there's also strong marriages. We have met wonderful people that are not Jewish, that are also Jewish. We've met long-term families where the parents are together for 62 years. We've met...
I just want to emphasize to everybody. I hope everybody heard this correctly. How long did married, Hanuk? If you could please repeat that.
Yes, we met a lovely couple. They're no longer around. The husband lived till he was 100, and she was about 8 or 10 years younger than him. And as soon as he passed on, I'm sure within the next couple of weeks, because she couldn't live without him, and she.
Love. And they were married, like you said, 62 years, right?
About 62 years,
yeah. And you know, Laura, I want to say this too. It's funny. I remember I once asked him, I said, tell me, what is your secret of, you know, being married so many years? And he said to me, you have to find the right girl.
That's very true.
What he said, yes.
And you know, what do you mean by that, Solomon?
Yes, what did he mean by that? So, to me, my interpretation of it is that you really have to, what we call in relationship coaching terms, you got to know a person's requirements, needs, and wants, which we definitely will get into in our next, next few shows. The required needs and wants is if people don't understand that just getting together and say, oh, we're going to get married and live happily ever after, it doesn't work that simple unless you have things that you are compatible with the other person. You know, give you a quick example. If somebody smokes and you don't smoke, Laura, let's say, exactly. And you say, oh, no, I'll get used to that person. It's okay. I don't want, you know, I'll get used to the way his breath smells from the smoke and his hands and his clothing. And I'll just overcome it. And then what happens is that after a while, no matter what, how you try, it really begins to bother you. So two things happen. Either you say, look, I know I meant well and I thought I'll get used, but I really can't. So you think maybe you can quit. But the person says, but wait a minute. But you knew as we were getting into the relationship that I like to smoke. So he's going to start resenting you and say, but that was the deal. And you say, I know that was the deal, but I can't seem to handle it. So unfortunately, so either that person quits or quit smoking, that is, or well, the next thing happens is the person will have to split up because it's just too much for a person who doesn't, in this case, if you don't smoke and you cannot deal with all that smoking, you know.
Except that's already giving up, where there's actually other options.
Yes.
You could have the person say to the smoker, I knew that I expressed that I would get used to it. However, I'm having trouble. And because of the secondhand smoke and the health risks, I'm really concerned for your health. Can we work through so that maybe we can come to a compromise so that this works for both of us? Perhaps you can start limiting the amount you smoke, and I will try to support you as we work this together.
There you go. That's even a better solution, you know. But you, as you can see, we definitely have a lot to discuss about these topics, and we definitely have a lot of ideas which we want to share with our audience.
Mm-hmm.
However, time does march on, so I don't seem to have too much time left. Okay, so how would you like to summarize? If each one of you want to talk for 1 minute here and tell me, how would you like to summarize what we feel we've accomplished today in terms of telling the audience what we discussed? You know, how do you want to summarize it? Who wants to go first, Laura or Hannah?
Well, I'll tell you, I think Laura did a fantastic job expressing her opinion and feelings all about that disorder that she talked about, the PTSD, post-traumatic syndrome disorder.
Stress disorder,
I'm sorry. And she did a really good description of that, and she gave the audience an idea of how you could possibly overcome it and work with it, work through it. At the same time, dealing with relationships from all of us, we were talking about from our hearts where we're coming from, what our own backgrounds are, and how we can work with other people to bring them hope and opportunity to work on their own relationships and improve themselves and improve their compatibility with their current relationship.
Oh, very good. Okay, and thank you. And Laura, how would you like to summarize it?
Well, first, thank you so much for having me on your show.
Oh, you're welcome.
It's been great. And I just hope that people really take a minute or even a day and think about everything that's been discussed to help improve society, especially with communication, because it is really the foundation of any problem or challenge within just about any situation.
Okay. Well, thank you very much for that. So, yes, and on that note, I want to wish everybody have a good day, and thank you very much for tuning in. And we'll see you next time. It's time to get back to basics with Tali Schwartz. Thank you.
Thank you so much for listening to our program. Please join host Naftali Schwartz for another edition of It's Time to Go Back to Basics. We'll be here Wednesdays at 1 p.m. Eastern Time, 10 a.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Variety Channel. Have a very good week.
Thanks again for listening to the preceding program brought to you on the Voice America Variety Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericavariety.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.